Well, greetings, everyone. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now, so you can join the broadcast and pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. If there's something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. It's Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you. Call now, 800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about our identity as believers in Christ. We're called children of God. I think it's one of the greatest aspects of this gospel message that we have, because finally we discover who we are. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's a lifelong quest for so many people. Yeah. They go out into the world trying to find their place, trying to figure out who they are, trying to figure out how they fit in to the world system, or if there's a place for them in the world system. And then once they figure all of that out, to try to determine their purpose in life and their final destiny. It's the big questions that we all ask. Well, God has answered those questions for us in Christ Jesus. When we come to Christ, we're born again into the family of God, and we're declared to be children of God. Now, we've talked this past several broadcasts about being no longer under the law. When we came into this world, we were under the law of sin and death. We stood condemned. Why? Because our identity was one of a sinner. But all of that changes. So now we're no longer under condemnation, and we're no longer under the law of sin and death. Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 4. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ. So we've died to the law. If you're a child of God, you have died to the law, that you might belong to another. Hey, you had to die to the law so that you might belong to another. And who do you belong to? To him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. So we once belonged to sin and death. We've died to the law that kept us in that relationship. We've died to that so that we could belong to another, to Jesus Christ himself, who was raised from the dead. And there's a purpose, so that we might bear fruit to God. Do you want to bear fruit to God? Do you want to have a life that is fruitful and productive and flourishing? There's only one way to do it, and that's to belong to Jesus Christ. And you can't flourish, you can't be fruitful, if you're still under the law. For when we were controlled by the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies. So when we were controlled by the flesh... So when we were sinners, what were we controlled by? The flesh. The flesh that was controlled by the world system and sin and the temptations of this world. That's what controlled us as lost people. It says the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies. We should take note of that. We really should understand that. When we were lost, and the law kind of started to come and be a part of our lives, and we saw those words, do not lie, do not steal, do not, all of those various things, the sinful passions were aroused by that. If you tell somebody not to lie, boy, that flesh of theirs is going to think of all sorts of ways to lie. Don't steal. Well, you're going to think of all sorts of ways and how to steal something. That's just the nature of this flesh. So those sinful passions were aroused by the law, and those were at work in our body so that we bore fruit for death. So if you're under the law, what kind of fruit are you going to bear?
It's death.
Fruit for death. Do you want to do that? I don't think so. We want to produce fruit to God, fruit that's alive, that's living, that's beneficial both to us and to others. Well, how do we do that? Well, we have to die to the law. But now by dying to to what once bound us. We have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. There's a new life for us. It's not through law. It's not through human effort. It's not through striving and all of those things that we're so used to doing.
Thank goodness.
It's through the work of God's Spirit.
Yeah.
And when we allow God's Spirit to do his work in and through us, we're going to bear fruit to God.
Yeah.
That's good news.
That's
and
good
only
news.
Children of God have that possibility.
Yeah. That's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this edition. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Plenty of open lines right now. Plenty of time on the clock. We want to hear from you at 1-800-677-9377. That's why we present a live program every day so that you can partake of it, or take part in it, I should say. Again, that toll-free number, 800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York and talk with Doris, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Doris.
Hi, Bob. I was reading in St. Luke chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, and it's about the abominable sin. Verse 9 says, "But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." And verse 10 says, "And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven." And in another book I read where it says you would not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. So I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
Okay, Doris, thanks for asking that question. So many of us worry about the unpardonable sin, trying to figure out what it is. And the reason we try to figure out what it is because we want to know if we've committed it. I've talked to so many people through the years who, you know, during their teenage years, they might have gotten drunk and were just enticed and said something against the Holy Spirit. And so they've lived in guilt all of their lives thinking that they had committed the unpardonable sin. But ultimately, the unpardonable sin is simply the rejection of Christ Jesus. Now, here in Luke chapter 12, also in Matthew chapter 12, it talks specifically about saying something against the Holy Spirit. If you say something against the Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven. Well, the Pharisees were saying something against the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, they were attributing the works of Jesus to Beelzebub, to Satan himself. Well, who was doing the work through Jesus? The Holy Spirit was. So they were blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we do that today, Richard? How do we blaspheme against the Holy Spirit today?
We refuse, or we blaspheme him by refusing to accept what he is pointing out to us about Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Jesus to us in all of his many aspects. And that's the Spirit's job. It's his pleasure. It's what gives him glory and Jesus glory. And if we'll accept it, it gives us glory because we get what he's offering to us.
Absolutely. So like in John 16, 8 through 10, I believe we see a picture of the Holy Spirit's work out in the world today.
Yes.
He's convicting the world wrong about sin. Because the world does not believe in Jesus. So what's the sin there? It's unbelief. We look at sins and all of these acts that we commit, but the Holy Spirit is pointing out the root cause, and it's unbelief. And so if we reject that, if we reject the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're ultimately rejecting Christ. Why? Because it's unbelief in Jesus. That is the sin, righteousness, because all righteousness is in Jesus. There's no other place to find righteousness, to find a right standing. Jesus Christ is the faithfulness of God, the righteousness of God, all of those sort of things. And if we're going to have righteousness, then we have to go to him. And again, that's the Holy Spirit's job to point us to Jesus. So ultimately, the unpardonable sin is the rejection of Christ.
Yes.
And we're blaspheming against the Holy Spirit because we're saying something different about Jesus than what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us.
Yeah, and in the context of the passage you read at the beginning out of Romans 7, if you think through that, if the Spirit is telling us we have died to sin, we have come alive to Christ so that we belong to Him, if we deny that and say that there is some kind of righteousness to be attained through law-keeping, that is just as much blasphemy as rejecting Him in the first place.
That's exactly right.
Dangerous so, place to be.
Yes, a very dangerous place to be. One note to point out is that if somebody is calling a national radio broadcast, somebody is going to a pastor, somebody's going to someone that's involved in ministry and asking the question if they've committed the unpardonable sin, I think that's a telltale sign that they haven't.
They have not.
Because those who commit the unpardonable sin are glad they do. I mean, their rejection isn't a passive rejection. It's not a rejection out of ignorance. It is someone who's reviewed the facts, who has taken a good look at Jesus and has heard all the information about Jesus and who is aggressively, actively rejecting the Son of God. We see that in the new atheists today. They're very happy to reject Jesus, and they're very happy to make fun of those who know Jesus, who claim the name of Jesus. So we see a very active rebellion against the person and work of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Well, we hope, Doris, that you're still listening and that's been a help to you. If you'd like to email a question to us, you can do that by going to our website at basicgospel.net. If you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, that's a good opportunity for you to pose your question. We'll be glad to address it on a later edition. Right now, open lines at 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Eugene, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hello, my Christian brothers. How are you brothers doing today?
We're doing fantastic. Always good to hear from you, my friend.
Same here. What you're speaking about today, I have to say that I deal with this every day, even today. Speaking of people, like I'm an evangelist, meaning that I speak to so many people trying to win them over to Christ. And it seems like when I speak to people that believe in God, or it might be a Jehovah Witness, or even Jews, or even, let's even say Muslims, that have a belief of a God, I can speak to them and have good conversations. But I have the problems when I speak to people that have a disbelief in the Word of God, like an unbeliever. I find it so hard trying to minister to them because they have some, they try to insult the Word of God, and I'm trying to give a defense. But then I ask myself, is this worth it? Am I preaching the gospel to a person that doesn't believe in it? And they just want to shoot out things, you know, trying to disrespect the Word of God. And I'm there trying to give a defense. But how do you give a defense if a person doesn't believe in it from the first place? They don't believe in it at all. I find that these people are harder to speak to. And it gets me upset sometimes because when they insult the Word of God, they're insulting, I'm getting insulted with it, you know? So I just want to know, just like you say, when you say blaspheme of the Holy Spirit, does this fall under the same thing, you know?
Well, Eugene, the Word of God is the story of Jesus. I mean, Jesus made that clear. He said this to the Pharisees, you search diligently through the Word of God, through the Scriptures, in hopes to find eternal life. But these are the Scriptures that bear witness to me, and yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So the Bible is the story of Jesus Christ, really, from start to finish. And so the Holy Spirit takes these words and uses these words to reveal to us both the person of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ, and how that benefits us to the point of salvation and this new way of life that we have in Him. So when somebody criticizes the Word of God and rejects it, they're rejecting God's testimony concerning His Son. That's what the Bible is all about. Now, sometimes when we try to defend the Bible, we try to defend it, not so much in using it, but to try to look at all of the facts about the Bible. As far as the Bible is concerned, it has more manuscript evidence than any other ancient work that is extant today. There is no other work that can compare to what the Word of God is. I think there's over 5,000 manuscripts that we have just of the New Testament. Well, that outstrips every other work of antiquity combined. So that in itself speaks volumes. But I think when we get to somebody who is criticizing the Bible, we just have to assume that they've never read it, and then to read it to them, and let the power of the Word of God do its work. I mean, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can divide between the soul and the spirit. It can judge the motivations of a person's heart. So why not use it in those situations? There's been so many stories of people who criticized the Bible, and then folks would just simply read it, and they would look at it and say, "I didn't know the Bible said that." And the Bible started doing its work. So, Eugene, I think in those situations, simply open up the Bible and read it to them. And let the Word of God do its work. The Word of God can defend itself better than you and I can defend it.
Amen. Thank you so much. And you brothers have a nice day. Thank you.
You're welcome, Eugene. Thanks for the call, my friend. Good question.
Yes, indeed. Want to continue to point you, friends, to a brand new product that we are very excited about. It's called Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. And as I said, it's a message, actually a series of messages by Bob Christopher, by Andrew Farley, and John Lynch. And it will help anchor you to the life and love of the Lord Jesus Christ and enable you to stand firm through the trials of life. And we all go through those. It's available in DVD form and CD or MP3 formats. And all you need to do to get yours is simply call 1-800-727-2828 or go online to stand2014.com. Again, that order information, 800-727-2828 or at stand2014.com.
Well, that product is just excellent. If you're a new believer in Christ, you're just wanting to grow, this is an excellent resource for you. You will get the basics of this gospel message delivered to you in very practical, easy to understand terms. You'll relate to many of the stories that Andrew, John, and I tell during these sessions. If you're a seasoned believer, this is a wonderful product for you to help you as you reach out to others in ways that you can reach out and to start conversations and to be involved in people's lives. So take advantage of this resource, Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. You will be glad you did, I guarantee it.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, open lines, friends, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, we have a call on the line right now from Tim in Louisville, Kentucky. Let's see what's up with Tim.
Hi, Tim, you're on the air.
Hey, I was just calling in regards to just calling in regards to the brother that just called a moment ago, and he was just talking about how frustrated he got with kind of don't respect the Bible, and how often I and probably many others have wanted to throw our hands up and say, "I'm not doing any good here. I'm not doing anything for anybody." And having that sense of spiritual insecurity is something that I think we battle forever. I just wanted to remind of this verse that just came across the other day. It basically says that it's not for nothing. It says, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for ye know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." I just think it's a good thing to remember that whether we can see the fruit of what's in front of us or not, God is using that thing for His glory one way or another.
Tim, that's good words of encouragement for all of us today, and I sure appreciate you jumping on to share that. A lot of times we get frustrated because we get involved in the results. We have this result. So we think we're going to enter into this conversation. They're gonna dazzle us with all of their criticisms and complaints and that sort of thing, and we're going to be able to work through those and bring them to a point of agreement with us. And that's our hope, and that's a good hope, that's a good desire, that's a good result. But that's not something that we can bring about. That truly is the Spirit's work, for somebody to come to grips with who Jesus is, what he's accomplished in their lives. That takes the work of God's Spirit. We can't bring that about. We just have the opportunity to be involved in the process. And that's where we can step back and really take encouragement by this verse that you read, Tim. We can sow, we can water, but God's going to bring about the growth. He's the results guy. He's the one that makes those things happen. And when we rest in that, that's when the joy of being involved in his work really takes root in our heart. So, Tim, thanks so much for encouraging us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, guys. Thank you all for all you're doing.
Well, we appreciate that, Tim. You call anytime, okay? Let's go to Sharon in New Jersey listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Well, you were talking about the atheist movement, and my son is 25, and he was, I mean, he got baptized. He was all, even as a teenager, he was all gung-ho for Jesus, and now he says none of the kids believe in God, and it's silly, Mom, and now everything, now all of a sudden he's an atheist, and he's basically telling me all the young people nowadays are atheists, and it's killing me. But, I mean, if I say too much to him, I chase him away. So, I mean, how do I try to get him back without scaring him away? I don't know how to do it. I'm at a wit's end right now.
Well, Sharon, don't be frightened by where he is. Continue to love him. I love how kids talk, and sometimes we adults talk this way. Everybody, no one. I mean, it's just these big, huge, all-inclusive words. Well, Sharon, you know that's not true. You know that every person your son's age is not an atheist. There are...
Well, it's the large majority, I would say. Or at least they claim to be at this moment, you know.
Well, I don't
think
it's even
a cool thing to say. I don't know. Maybe it's a cool thing to say.
Well, that's the point I was going to get to, Sharon. Obviously, your son is being influenced, and there's this idea of wanting to be accepted, wanting to fit in. Well, how do you fit in? Well, you have to buy into what a group does and what a group believes. And right now he's doing that. Well, he's going to find that's an empty way of life. And if he's truly saved, he's going to come back to his roots in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit will ensure that. If he's not saved, this is an opportunity for him to really, I think, see the different beliefs out there in the world and come to grips with what is true. And Sharon, I think...
Well, how do I know if he was... I believe he was... he got baptized and he really believed it at the time and all, but... like God lets you wander and come back again. I mean, I didn't know that was, I thought you had to stay on the same road.
Well, I think we all kind of wander here and there. Let me do this. We're about out of time. Let me put you on hold and we'll get some information for you, okay? Thanks, Sharon.
Yes, indeed. We want to continue to point you toward Bob Christopher's excellent 4-message series called When God is For You. We've been talking about it this month, our identity as God's kids, and this series homes right on in and the truth of God's love for you and your true identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. When God is For You, a 4-message series by Bob Christopher. You can get your copy today at basicgospel.net, that's basicgospel.net, or by phone at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828. And learn to live in the confidence that God is for you. It's an excellent series, friends. I hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to pick it up. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.